Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences to prove to you that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and on today's episode, we've got another runner whose marathon and training are fresh on her mind because she ran her first marathon in September of 2024. We go into a lot of detail of reframing her relationship with running, training for her first two halves, and eventually training for her full. We also get into a lot of new runner tips and tricks, as well as the importance of training your stomach. So let's jump right in. Please welcome Paige. Paige, thank you so much for coming on the podcast this weekend, dedicating some time out of your weekend. How's everything going so far?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Pretty good. Can't complain.
Good, good. Well, excited to break down your marathon experience here. It's pretty fresh on your mind. You just ran your first marathon in September of 2024. So the training and everything, I'm sure, is still really fresh. But before we get to that point, how did you get involved in the running space slash like what was your relationship with movement like before training for your first marathon?
Yeah, good question. So my relationship with running kind of started in like eighth grade. I remember my best friend at the time, she was like, let's sign up for track together. And I had a little bit of experience in some sports here and there, doing like field hockey and things like that, throughout elementary school and middle school. But track was not something that I ever really wanted to try. I didn't really have an interest in it, but you know, your bestie's doing it, you're going to do it too. So, sure. We signed up for track and I was horrible at it. My coach wanted me to do the distance running and I was just not good. Like every event I was pretty much coming in last place or close to last place. For some context, my body's like 90% legs. I've always been a very like lanky person.
Sure.
I remember they would yell at me from the sidelines during my events and they'd be like, Paige, use your legs. And I'm like, what do you think I'm doing? I'm trying right. my best. But I just didn't understand the mechanics or anything of running. So I did not like it. I looked for every excuse not to continue doing track. I did finish out the season, but after that I was like, okay, not really for me. I'm not good at running at all. After track, when I got into high school, I kind of started running here and there just for fun. But I definitely was the type of person that every time I went out for a run, I was just going as hard and as fast as I could every time. I didn't really know what I was doing. You know, I'd be like, okay, I'm going out for a run. And I would just go and it would be, you know, like 3-4 miles, but just as fast as I could go. And
complete
I would always
effort,
feel, yeah, exactly, every time. And I would always feel so exhausted. But I was like, well, I guess that's just how you're supposed to feel after a run.
Sure.
Like, that's good exercise. So that's kind of, you know, how my running journey started. And then it just kind of developed and changed as I, you know, got older. When I got into college, I really got into lifting and running just kind of fell to the wayside. And it really wasn't until like after college that I kind of started picking up running again and started getting into it a little bit more.
Okay, cool. So got into lifting. That was like your form of movement while you were in that phase. And then what brought you back to running? Like, it seems like it kind of creeped its way back in somehow. So how did it come back into your life?
Yeah. So, I ended up getting my personal training certification and doing that on the side just for fun.
Okay.
Like I said, I've always really enjoyed exercise and just movement in general. And some of my colleagues at the gym actually were like, hey, we're going to run a half marathon. Do you want to do it with us? Do you want to sign up? And I was like, half marathon? That's insane. Like 13.1 miles. I don't know, guys. I've never been a good runner. I'm not sure if I can do it. And they're like, oh, you can do it. You know, some of the other people that had signed up had run previous events. So they were like, it's fine. We'll help you through it. Like, it'll be good. So that was kind of my reintroduction back into running. I obviously signed up for it. And I got the itch just like every other runner.
Right. Yeah. No, it starts with that one friend, I feel like, where that's just like, hey, you should try this. And then all of a sudden it's your entire personality and you don't know what to do with it. But,
exactly.
So you had a friend that pushed you there. Was that friend somebody that like had been a runner for a while, or was this like kind of on a whim for them as well? Where were they at in their journey?
So they were all also personal trainers at the time. And
okay.
Most of them had run events previously. I think maybe everybody that was running it with me, I think there were six of us total, had previously run events, and this was going to be my first. So I was really the only like newbie in the group.
Okay, cool. So you had them to kind of like ask questions to and depend on a little bit, which obviously for your first race is super important to have somebody to ask questions to, because there's a lot. So
yeah, a lot.
Okay, so you had that group. That's great. And then were they giving you any sort of like resources, or were you seeking out any resources for training plans or anything like that at that time?
Yeah, so as soon as we signed up for the race, obviously I did not know where to start, what to do. And one of my good friends was like, hey, I used Hal Higdon's plan for half marathon before, so that's what I'm going to be using. So I did a little bit of research and I was like, yeah, this plan seems suitable for me. I think I can start here. It was like the beginner one plan. And that was great. I am a big rule follower. So for me, having a plan like that, that's laid out, helps a lot. I was able to stick to it to a T, and that's really how I got through training for my first half. And then of course, like my friends were also great resources, just kind of guiding me and really teaching me that running is not about going out as hard and as fast as you can every time. And teaching me that, in fact, you can walk during a run.
It's allowed.
Yeah, exactly. Which is something that, I don't know, when I was younger, I guess I just didn't think anybody was walking during their runs. As silly as that sounds, when you're a beginner, you're like, wow, how are these people going out and running? And some people do, obviously, you know, some people go out and run 13 miles straight without stopping. That's not me. But, you know, just teaching me these little things along the way was so helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. And I don't know, I didn't do track it when I was in high school, but talking to a couple people that come from like the cross country world or the competitive running world, even when they were younger, do you feel like that like coming from that mindset to then training for your half years later impacted like that at all? The fact that you were thinking, oh, you can't walk. Oh, like it's all or nothing kind of thing.
Yeah, that definitely could be part of it because, you know, during those events, people aren't walking. I don't know about cross country, but as far as track, you know, you're booking it for, you know, 800 meters, 1600 meters, whatever your event is. And everybody just seemed so much better at running than me. So I just assumed like, oh, this is just how it is. You know, you go out and you go really fast for as long as you possibly can.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. And then you the first time you slow down, you're like, oh, okay, this makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, you're like, what okay, was that? I think I can do this. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. Do you have a specific moment for training for your first half where you had that run that was like, oh, okay, this makes a little bit more sense?
I think when I was training for my first half, I was running with one of my girlfriends who was also going to be doing the half. And she was like, I think I need to do intervals today. I'm just like not really feeling it. And I was like, oh yeah, totally. Like I knew what that was. I had no idea. and that's when I found out like, oh, okay. So we can actually, you know, start and stop, you know, intermittently walk in between these short stints of running, and that's still running. That kind of opened my eyes to like this whole other form of running that I didn't know existed, honestly.
Totally. Yeah. It's huge. It opens up a whole world for you, to like set goals beyond what you thought that you could actually do, which is really cool. So training for this first half, what were like the milestone miles that you remember? So like I hit my 6 mile long run for the first time, and I felt like I could actually like reach 13.1 miles. Do you have a moment where you felt like I'm over the hump? Like I'm starting to get the hang of this.
Yeah, I think, well, for me, honestly, like every run was kind of a milestone because I hadn't really taken running seriously up until that point. I wasn't even really like, I would go out and I wouldn't really log much, you know, I would be like, oh, I'm going to go run for 30 minutes or whatever. But I wasn't really focused on like my distance or my times or anything. So every run was kind of like a milestone for me. But I remember during that training, I think the furthest run was, for training purposes, was a 10-mile run. And I remember after that being like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just ran double digits. Like, that's crazy.
It's huge.
Yeah. And I think that after that run, I was like, oh, well, I can definitely do a half. It's only 3 more miles after that. Like, that's nothing. So that was kind of like, for me, the biggest thing, just getting to those double digits and being like, whoa, I didn't know I was capable of that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so cool. So obviously you ran your first half marathon, but how were you feeling when you were like at the start line? Cause was this, I guess I should back up a little bit. Was this your first race, like post eighth grade track and all of that good stuff?
Yeah, I hadn't done any other events. I don't even know that I did a 5K. I kind of just jumped right in. Yeah. So going into it, I was so nervous. I was like really fortunate that I had a group of people to run with during that half. If I didn't have that, I don't know how it would have went. But yeah, going into it, I was just so nervous. I didn't really know what to expect. I hadn't even been a spectator at, a running event like this before. So, I just remember being like, what have I gotten myself into?
Right. And was this a pretty big race or like a local race that you signed up for?
Yeah, it was a local race. But they were also doing, it was a half and full marathon. Okay. So, they had a pretty decent turnout. I can't remember how many attendees there were, but it's a pretty big race for a local race.
Okay, cool. And like when you were standing at the start line with all of your group of people that you were going to run with, was there any advice that they were giving you like to keep the nerves down or anything like that? Just to like center you, because I know those start lines for the first time can be like a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. We went into it with a plan that we were going to start the race running intervals and really taking it slow. Way we didn't kind of like burn ourselves out. So that was really helpful, just going in knowing like, okay, we're not going to, the gun's not going to go off and we're going to sprint. It's going to be really slow and controlled, and we're running as a group. So if somebody needs to stop, we can stop. If we need to walk or we need to, whatever it is, that group was very encouraging in knowing that, we can always control the pace depending on how anybody in the group is feeling. So that was really helpful and encouraging before getting started.
Yeah, that's huge for your first one to go out with like a group of people that you can rely on. I think that's huge.
Yeah.
Cool. So like, let's break down the race again. I want to hear about how the first half marathon went. So how was the first, let's say like half of the first half marathon for you?
It was good. I remember feeling really good for the first half. Like I said, we started out really slow and our plan was to just see how we felt and adjust from there. And I felt really good. It wasn't until probably like around mile 10 that I was like, okay. Oh my gosh, okay. I'm kind of getting over this. In that race, there was a really, really long stretch. I want to say it was like the last like 2 miles was a really flat, long stretch. Mm. And I just remember like running in that straight line. I was like, I'm going to go insane. Like, when does this end? Where's the finish line? I don't see it anywhere. So I remember feeling just really exhausted around like mile 10 or 11. But I also knew I only had 2 or 3 miles left. I could get it done. It was just a matter of like mentally reminding myself. And obviously having that group was so critical for me because we were so encouraging to each other. It really helped me, finish.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you cross the finish line for the first time. That's such a cool feeling for the first time. What were you thinking after that? I feel like people either fit in the one and done, that sucked, that was horrible, and I'm good to go. Or you're like, okay, I need to do better and figure out how I can do more of these things. What do you think you fell into?
Yeah, I remember feeling so accomplished after that. I was really happy to be done. And I actually remember because that course, for the marathon, the full marathon, it was a loop. So they would have to do that 2 times. And I remember crossing the finish line and seeing people continue to run. And I was like, can you imagine doing that twice? Literally never. I'll never do it. I remember thinking, that's crazy. I'm so tired. I can't imagine doing that loop again. But I was also very proud and I felt really good. I was tired, but I was like, oh, that was kind of fun. I kind of enjoyed that. But I didn't like immediately think, oh, I'm going to keep doing this. Like, I was kind of like, okay, I was good.
You did it.
I'm good for now. Yeah. Yeah. So that was kind of my mindset.
Okay, cool. And were you thinking about, even if there was no race in mind, where so you had already done this training block and you were, I would imagine, in pretty good shape at that point. So were you thinking, I'm going to keep running, period? Or were you kind of thinking you were going to get back to like weightlifting or other forms of movement or anything like that?
Yeah. So I consider myself a seasonal runner. I do not like winter running. Cold weather running is not for me. I don't know how people do it. They are a different breed. so I, that marathon was in the early fall. So I was like, okay, well, starting to get chilly. I'm good. I'm not going to run outside. yeah. Off season for me. so I was like, I'm just going to go back to focus on lifting because as you probably know, like when you're ramping up for a race, you're definitely slowing down in the gym. That work kind of, you have to kind of scale back. So I was kind of just ready to get back into the gym and get back to like my lifting routine. There wasn't really any world where I was like, oh, I'm going to start researching my next race.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. And we obviously know you ran another half and then a full after that. So where, I guess kind of fill in the pieces there. So you, you were back into lifting, started to do that for the winter. And then how did we get to next like milestone for running?
Yeah. So I think my first half was in 2020 and then, my second half was 2022. So
okay, gotcha.
Somewhere in there, I decided I kind of missed running and I think I want to do another half, but this time I want to do it by myself. My goal was to really push myself and get outside of my comfort zone by doing it alone. When you have a group that you're running with, there's a different energy. You guys are encouraging each other and you're feeding off of each other's energy. But when you're doing it by yourself, it's obviously like it's running is mentally challenging as it is. But when you're doing it by yourself, it's like a whole nother level, in my opinion, because you're really out there solo. And you really have to like battle those mental hurdles alone. So I decided I was going to sign up for another one and I was going to do it by myself and I was going to try to improve my time from my first. That second half marathon was a different experience for me. the day before the half, I ended up getting my period and getting sick.
No, bad timing.
Such bad timing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It could not have been worse. I woke up the morning of the half, excuse me, and I remember feeling like I got hit by a truck. I did not feel good at all. And I was like, I did not just train all this time to not show up and run the half. So I remember I took my fever or took my temperature and I thought, if I have a fever, I can't do it. If I don't, suck it up. You'll be fine. I didn't have a fever. So I was like, oh, dang it. Okay.
Darn. Yeah. I have to do this thing.
Small part of me that was like, okay, I kind of wish I did just because I feel horrible. So yeah. I was like, okay, I'm just going to take some medicine and we'll just see how I feel. Worst comes to worst. There was also a 5K that day. So I thought, worst comes to worst, I'll just do the 5K, turn around, whatever. I got to the race and I was feeling a little bit better. Medicine was starting to kick in. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go for it, whatever. I ended up carrying tissues through the entire race. I was blowing my nose while running. It was horrible. I never felt worse. Like I've never felt worse. It was horrible. But I finished the race. I was so dehydrated. I was unwell, but I did beat my time. And I was like, okay, so I felt horrendous and I still beat my previous time. So I guess it wasn't too bad, whatever. Say it's a win, right? But it was tough. Like that that half marathon was kind of out in the middle of nowhere. It was a small local half marathon, and the course was very isolate. Like, it was all farmland. There wasn't a lot of spectators. So mentally, that half was really challenging for me. I remember getting to, I think it was probably around the 10, 11 mark when I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I knew I could finish because I had done it before. But with how I was feeling physically, it was just really getting to me mentally. And I was like, I don't know if I want to finish. Like, I was just so exhausted. And not having really anybody around was just really challenging because there's nobody there to say like, hey, keep going, you got it.
Right, right.
So that was tough, but you know, I did finish, and I'm glad I did it, but it was brutal. Like, that was like, why am I doing this? Like, that was definitely a moment when I was like, okay, probably not the best idea. But I did.
We're in the middle of this race, so
yeah, exactly. I'm like, why did I do this? Like,
yeah, crazy. Yeah, that sounds like a mental battle. Those local races, I love a good local race, don't get me wrong, but sometimes they can be a little bit brutal. Some of those courses that are just like out in the middle of nowhere, and the spectators aren't there, and you're just alone with your thoughts for hours. It can be tough. What if you remember, like, what were you saying to yourself to keep yourself going during those moments when you were like, what in the world am I doing out here?
Man, honestly, I have to be like a little bit hard with myself, because that's the only thing that will keep me going. So I just remember being like, you are literally, there's no other option here. Like, first of all, you're out in the middle of nowhere. Like, there's nobody around. So if you want to stop, you still got to get to the finish line anyway. So like, might as well keep going. Right. And also just remembering, like, you worked so hard for this moment. You trained for so many weeks to get here. You are not giving up because you can do this. You've done it once before and you're going to do it again. You might feel like crap right now, but at the end of this, you'll be okay. Like, you'll have your water. You can sit down, eat a big breakfast, whatever you want to do, but
just right run the
now,
day away.
Like, just, yeah, exactly. Like, but right now you're finishing this. Like, you know, there's no other option here. And that was kind of the only way I could like get through it.
Sure. Yeah. And I think a good way, I know at least for me, when I was running my first half marathons before I even got into the marathon, like, I kind of knew why I was running, but I kind of didn't really. So it's really hard to depend even on your why in those moments, like when you're so early on in your training. So I like how you were like thinking back to, oh no, I trained really hard for this. Like, would you say that was your why? Was like, I put in a lot of work here, so I got to keep going.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I had started that day going in with like a very specific time goal that I wanted to reach. And once I started running and I realized like, oh, I'm really not feeling good, I kind of scrapped the whole time goal. And I was like, okay, you know what? Just finish. That's all I'm asking of you. Just finish. Because truly, like you said, my why was I trained for this. I'm not going to give up now. Like, it's too late for that. So I wasn't going to let like a little bit of a head cold, you know, get in my way. Just wasn't worth it.
Sure. Yeah. And then you always feel better at the end. So, but going back just a little bit to training for your second half marathon. So your first half marathon, you had your group that you were kind of depending on for training. You were following your HAL plan. What, if anything, did you change for training for your second marathon that you just didn't know for, I'm sorry, your first half marathon, second half marathon that you just didn't know for your first one?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I used the same program for my second half because I really liked the way it was kind of like laid out, and it worked for me. So I used the same plan, and really my training for the second one wasn't too much different. It was more so just being comfortable, being okay, being by myself, learning how to pace myself. Because I was not good at that from the beginning. And when you're relying solely on yourself and you don't have a partner to say like, hey, we need to slow down, that can be a little bit challenging. So really it was just getting comfortable with running solo and, you know, battling those mental demons on the days when you don't feel like running by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so hard. And it's like we talk about a lot about why as runners, but until we find that why, like, we're really just relying on ourselves to get us through that. Yeah. And when you don't have a group to push you, it could definitely get difficult during training. But cool. So we ran our second half marathon. You got that under the belt. Obviously you weren't feeling very well, but we got there. Where did we kind of progress from there? What were you thinking after that race?
Yeah. After that, honestly, I was like, okay, like maybe I'll do another half, you know, I don't know. We'll see. Again, I'm such like a non-committed runner. I was like, well, it's getting cold again, so time to hibernate. maybe I'll pick it up again next year. I don't know. And then I think every year when I see videos from like the New York Marathon and the Boston Marathon, I get so emotional. And I think it was 2023 when I was seeing like recap videos and people that were running and from spectators and all these things on TikTok. And I was like, oh my gosh, like imagine how incredible that must feel to run a marathon. Like, I can't even imagine what that feels like, being part of that 1% group. Like, it must be so cool. And truly those videos, I got the bug just from watching those videos of other people running marathons. And I was like, maybe I should do it. But then it would, you know, it would kind of come and go. I'd be like, maybe I should do it. And then I'd be like, no, that's crazy. I don't know. You know, the last half was so bad. I don't know if I should even contemplate doing a full. So I just kind of kept like going back and forth. Oh, maybe I will, maybe I won't. And it wasn't until one of my friends at the gym, that same group of people, they're just bad influences, had said that they were going to be running a marathon. And I was like, oh, that's so awesome. Like, good for you. Could it be me? And they were like, no, you could definitely do it. Like, you did a half, you can do a full. I'm like, I don't know, guys, that's crazy. And then I kind of started thinking about it a little bit more. And I was like, well, I did do a half. It's just another loop, right? Like, not that much more.
And so then, you talk yourself into it.
Yeah, no, literally, I started talking myself into it. And I kind of decided, like, I knew at some point that I wanted to run a marathon then. I was kind of, like, in the mindset of, like, okay, at some point I will do it. When? I don't know. But it's definitely a goal I have at some point in my life. And then I kind of started thinking about it a little bit more. And I was like, well, I mean, what's stopping me from doing it right now? Right? Like, there's never going to be a good time to run a marathon.
Right. There's
It's a huge time commitment. And I remember kind of going through like all of my excuses of why I shouldn't. And I was like, but also life is just going to continue to get busier. It's just going to continue to get crazy, whatever. Like, life is never going to slow down. There's never going to be a good time. So I was like, well, you know, 2024, I'm going to be 29. Maybe I should commit to running my first marathon before I hit 30. That might be like a good goal for me to have. So I really just talked myself into it. I hyped myself up and I was like, let's just sign up. And I decided to sign up for one way in advance because I knew if I didn't sign up for a race, I wasn't going to do it. Like, if I would have waited until like 2 months before to like actually sign up, I would have talked myself out of it.
Right.
So
right.
I signed up, I don't know, like 7 or 8 months before the marathon. And I was like, well, now you're committed. And you're not going to make a fool of yourself. So you better find a training program and you better stick to it because you're in it now. Like,
yeah, it's time.
It's time.
Cool. So you had given yourself plenty of time though, which I think is so smart for your first marathon to not do any sort of time crunch, not try to push it too much. Just like you need that base building season before you hit your actual training plan, like the 18, 20 weeks before. So that's great.
For sure.
And were you still looking into the same Hal Higdon type plans just for the marathon now, or what were you thinking in terms of plan?
Yeah. So I actually, for the marathon, I decided to start with just kind of going out and doing some base training on my own. Just because, like I said, I am a seasonal runner. So I rarely run. It's so bad. I don't encourage people to do this. But like I won't run all winter. So by the time like spring rolls around, I'm really like deconditioned.
Sure.
So I really started with like a base training, just going out and trying to like build up some mileage and my endurance. And then I did actually sign up for, I used Hal Higdon's app for the full marathon, mm-hmm. which was great. And it was a similar kind of setup as the half marathon plans. And that really helped to kind of keep me honest and keep me on a schedule.
Yeah, I used the same app for my first marathon. I think it's a good resource for beginners too.
For
There's
sure.
some advanced plans on there too that actually aren't bad. So we'll plug that a little bit. But
yeah,
so cool. So you were using the app, and I should have asked this before, but how did you decide on the marathon that you chose?
Yeah, good question. So I really wanted to do a marathon in the early fall again, because I wanted to train in spring and summer. I prefer the hotter months to run. So I was looking for a like early fall marathon in my area. So I live in Pennsylvania, and unfortunately there were none. I couldn't find any. So I happened to just stumble upon, it was the Sackett's Harbor Marathon in Sackett's Harbor, New York. And it looked like a really pretty course, and it was an out and back, which I really liked. I didn't want to have to do like laps because I don't know. For some reason, that just seems mentally so much more difficult to like see the finish line so many times and not be there. I found the marathon. I was like, well, this looks like a really pretty course. It was relatively flat. And I was like, also, I can make a little vacation out of it. Found a little Airbnb close by. So that's really why I chose the course. I was like, well, looks like a good beginner course. Let's give it a try.
Cool. Yeah, that's great. And then I feel like your first half marathon, or even the half marathon in general, you should be fueling. But for our first ones, a lot of times that we're kind of putting that by the wayside. What were you looking into, or what had you learned so far in terms of fuel at that point?
Yeah, good question. For the half marathons, both of them, I really wasn't fueling well at all. Actually, for the first one, I don't know that I did fuel at all. For the second one, I was using fuel, but not properly. I was just kind of like here and there, like, oh, I guess I'll, you know, eat a couple chews, whatever.
Yeah.
Didn't really know what I was doing. So that was a huge learning curve for me going into the marathon, because I knew how essential it was, but I just didn't know how to do it. So training my stomach was such a big hurdle for me. And it's something that I think is not talked about enough in the running community. Like, anybody that is going into trying to run, like, training your stomach to eat while you're running is
it's tough.
It's challenging. It's tough. It's really tough.
Yeah.
That was a really big learning curve for me. But I really took it very seriously and tried to stay on top of fueling even during my training runs, and carrying that throughout, you know, the entire training process.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you brought that up. I've been talking a little bit about what I just went through training my stomach, because even after my first marathon, training my stomach like to run in heat versus running in the cold, like, you just, it constantly is changing. And then you wake up one day and some of the fuel that's worked for you the last 3 months just randomly decided to stop working for you. So it's this whole other element of like, training your body, that a lot of people don't anticipate when they get into the marathon stuff. So I'm glad you brought that up. What were you thinking, or what were you looking into, if anything, to like train your stomach to take on fuel?
Yeah, honestly, there are a lot of really great free resources out there. Just trying to read as much as possible on like how to do it and what to do. really, I was also looking to my friends for advice who had previously run. I found for me personally, I didn't really like the like goos and stuff. So I was really primarily using like chews. And I found a couple of things that worked for me and I just kind of stuck with it. I also started adding in gummy bears. Highly recommend. it was like rewarding myself with a little treat, but it was still getting those sugars and carbs. So yeah, it was really just kind of like trial and error. See what feels good on those runs, and definitely I would say, you know, bring very specific, you know, whatever you think you're going to like, bring that with you on some of your shorter runs and give it a try just in case you do have a little bit of belly troubles. You don't have to continue running. But yeah, it was really just kind of like trial and error. It's just making sure that, you know, for me personally, it was making sure I was fueling every like 30 minutes on those runs, and also hydrating. Again, something that I feel like we need to talk a little bit more about, because going into running, like you just assume like, oh, water's good, like, you know, just that's fine. But your salt intake and everything else that, you know, goes along with running to avoid cramping and all these other things, like there's just so many little pieces of fueling and hydrating that you have to learn. I'm still learning about it. I feel like I'm still trying to figure out, like, am I doing this right? I don't know.
Yeah, it's tricky. And I think trial and error is the best way to put it. Like you said, like once you find something that you like, stick it, like keep it, note it down, stick with it until something proves otherwise. But yeah, stick with it. And then I think that you can just kind of keep adding in like the salt, the sodium stuff, the like it's something that needs more sugars, maybe you need more carbs. I think you can start to like adjust once you have a good baseline of what you know like will work for your stomach, you know?
For sure. And it really is like you really just have to listen to your body and see how you're feeling. Paying attention when you're running, reminding yourself like, when did I fuel last? Am I feeling pretty good? Do I need more? Was that adequate? You know, am I having any sort of like adverse reaction to what I just ate? It's just really important to listen to your body.
Totally. Throughout the whole training block. And for this training plan, I know following the HAL plan, I think 20 miles was my top run. Was that the same for you for your first?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. What was that experience like? Because I know you said the first time you hit your double digit run, it was like this, oh, I could do hard things kind of feeling. What was it like hitting your first 20 mile run? Because that is quite the milestone.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was incredible. I will say like throughout training, because the furthest I had run was a half, again, it was like everything further than a half was just another milestone. So it was like, oh my gosh, I just ran 14 for the first time. Oh my gosh, I just ran 15 for the first, you know, it was just like so exciting every single time. And for the 20 mile run, I was really fortunate because I had two friends that biked alongside me, which godsend, because that is a challenging run. And dare I say, even more challenging than the marathon itself.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. But I remember I felt really good. I got pretty good at pacing myself and I knew where my comfort zone was. I'm a slow runner and I don't care. Like I'm always checking in with myself to see how I'm feeling. And if I feel like I'm going too fast and I'm, you know, I will scale back and I will go slower. I don't care if I'm walking. and I remember getting to like 15 and my friends were like checking in like, you good, you sure you're okay, because I just like kind of stopped talking at that point because I was just so tired and the energy was just drained from my body. And you know, things were starting to hurt a little bit, but if it weren't for them, I don't know if I could have like finished that on my own. They really encouraged me, kept me going, and I remember as soon as I finished, I was like, I can't believe I have to run 6.2 more. Like,
yes,
that
it's so defeating.
Yeah. I was like, no, because I'll be running for another hour plus.
Right. Like, right.
If you asked me to do that day, I would have been like, you're out of your mind. That's never going to happen. Like,
yeah,
no, pass. And that's when you really start questioning your sanity and you're like, why did I sign up for this? Like,
yeah, what are we doing here?
What are we doing?
Yeah.
For sure. That 20 miles is rough. But I will say, like, don't let that be a deterrent for anybody that's training for their first. Like, I think that 20 miles is hard for pretty much anybody. And
yes, yeah.
It's just, like, such a struggle. And going into your race day is going to be, it's going to be so much different and so much better.
Yeah, yeah. Right. That first one is tough. I mean, it's, like, it's similar to the race where there's a lot of unknown, but I think the first time you run that 20 mile run, it feels like you're like test for the marathon almost. So
yeah.
it can really psych you out. That run, if it doesn't go well, you're like, well, shoot, can I even run a marathon if I can't run 20 miles? Or vice versa, if it goes awesome, then you're like, oh, I got this. And sometimes you can go in a little bit too confident to the marathon. So it can it can really mess with you.
I think everybody has at least one run, but probably several throughout training where you're like, I don't know if I can
happening?
Do this actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember for some reason, my 14 mile run was so incredibly hard. I don't know what was wrong with me that day, but like mentally, I was just not in a good space. And I remember after 14, I left. Oh, well, I actually like about at like mile like 12, I was like, I think I'm just going to go back to my car. I don't think I can do this. Like, I think I'm going to quit. I don't think I can run this anymore. Like, I'm done. And I had somehow convinced myself, like, no, you just ran 12 miles. You can run two more. Like, get up. Let's go. Mm-hmm. I ended up finishing that 14 miles. And I was almost, like, on the verge of tears. Like, I actually don't think I can run 26. Like, I could barely finish that 14. It took every ounce in me to finish that. That was like one of the hardest runs. And then, you know, like 2 weeks later you're running 16 and you're like, this is great.
Yeah,
and you're like,
no big deal.
It makes no sense at all.
Right.
Makes no sense. But there's always going to be runs like that where you're like, how did I ever, like, how did I do this before? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, and I think when you were going through it the first time, like when you had that 14 mile run before you even knew that this like 16 mile run was going to go well the next time, how did that affect your confidence? Because I could, like, speaking from experience, runs like that for the first marathon when I didn't know that was a thing was like a huge knock to my confidence, where I'd be like, oh my god, I'm not a runner, I don't know what I'm doing out here. Like, what was that like for you?
Yeah, no, 100%. I felt the same way. I was like, well, if I can't do 14, like, there's absolutely no way I can do 26. Like,
right,
it's just not possible. And I felt really defeated after that run. I truly was like, should I just like not go through with this? Like, should I just stop training? I don't know. Maybe I should just stick to half marathons. And it really was like a big knock to my confidence. But then, you know, you start back up a day later, next 2 days, whatever, and you go on your short run and you're like, okay, like, it was just a bad run, we'll see what happens. I'm glad that I didn't give up, but yeah, it was definitely a challenge. And once I did like that 16 and I felt good, I was like, okay, I don't know, maybe it was just a fluke. Like, what is this? I don't understand how 16 can be easier than 14. Like, that makes no sense. But
right,
okay, I guess we'll just see what happens, you know, just keep going.
That's it. Yeah, you just gotta keep moving forward, keep trusting the plan, trusting the work, and things do fall into place for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. So we got through training, and we did our 20 mile run. We know how that turned out. And then did you go into like a 2 week taper, 3 week taper from there?
Yeah. So it was a 2 week taper. And, I remember thinking, well, this makes no sense. Why would I taper for 2 weeks? I feel like I'm going to lose all the progress that I've made. And again, like you said, you really just have to like trust the process, trust the plan. And oh my gosh, those 2 weeks were incredible. I remember being like, oh, these runs, these short runs.
Yeah.
I love this. This is so nice. You know, you're going out, you're like, only 10? Oh my gosh.
Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy to say, by the way.
Right.
I remember like coming home, my husband would be like, oh, like how far do you have to run today? I'm like, only 10. He's like, only 10? What? That's an insane amount. And I'm like, no, that's great. Like,
no, you don't get it. Yeah.
It's a piece of cake. That'll be buying a breeze. Yeah. So those two taper weeks were incredible and it was definitely essential. I made the mistake of not really doing a ton of research when it came to shoes. I found shoes that I liked that felt comfortable to me to train, but I didn't really like do any research on like what was best or most supportive for like my feet. And I ended up getting like really, really bad shin splints. So those 2 weeks were essential for me to just like recover a little bit and just gain some of that energy back because you really do like, I think that might be why like the 14 and 16, like those are so hard because you're really in like the midst, like you're in the thick of it. You've been running like hard for weeks and weeks and weeks and your mileage just keeps increasing and increasing. So those 2 weeks are just like, yeah, they were great. I love that.
Yeah,
I love the taper.
You didn't fall into the taper crazies. You were like, no, I'm accepting this. This is great.
Yeah, I was like, no, this is amazing. I don't know if it's gonna work, but it's amazing.
Yeah, right. Cool. And then, so you're getting a little bit closer to race day, and you said that you were commuting to this race. How far? What were the logistics of getting to this race?
Yeah, so the race was on a Sunday. And I think it was like about a 6 hour drive to the destination. So we actually went on, I don't know if it was Friday or Saturday, but we got down there, we got ourselves situated, made sure we knew where to eat that night so I could get some good carbs before the race. Just making sure that I had everything like packed and ready to go. I definitely would not have wanted to drive there like the morning of the race because it starts so early and you know there's so many logistics to figure out. So yeah, I think we got in the day before and spent the night close by.
Okay, cool. And how were you feeling that night before when you were like getting dinner and like moving around and doing stuff in the town you were gonna run it in? Like how were you feeling?
Yeah, well I remember we went out to dinner that night and there were clearly a lot of other people there that were going to be running. And I just remember like looking around and being like, oh my gosh, all these people are running tomorrow too. Like, this is so weird. Like, I don't know. It just felt really bizarre. And I was nervous, but I was trying to be as relaxed as possible. Making sure that I was like, you know, just stretching and hydrating and eating and fueling as much as possible. Yeah, the nerves, like, they were there, but they didn't really hit until the morning, until race day.
Yeah,
so I was just trying to remain calm, but I was freaking out for sure on the inside.
For sure, yeah. And then, so you said that the morning of, the nerves kind of kicked in. Was it when you got to the start line? Was it a little bit before? Like, when did you start to be like, all right, we're doing this thing?
I think as soon as my alarm went off in the morning, I was like, oh my God, right. No. No, why did I sign up for this? So I don't really like arriving to the race super early. Might be controversial, but I am just way too nervous. Like, I don't want to be around all those people. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, so in my head that I just like need time to like process everything. So I remember I got up that morning, I was getting ready, I ate, I put my outfit on and I was like, okay, like everything's fine, like I feel good, this is, everything's going according to plan, it's okay, not sick, so that's a plus. And then on the drive there I was like, oh my god, it's only like a 10 minute drive, I only have 10 minutes until we're there. Like, I was like, oh no, I wish this drive was longer, I'm not ready, like I can't do this. Yeah. And going into it, my biggest fear or my biggest concern was there was a cutoff time. So it was a 6 hour time limit. And I remember just being so nervous that I wasn't going to finish in time. Logistically, based on my training and the way that I had been running, I would have been able to finish in time. But there was just like something in me that was like, no, the time, like, you're going to, like, something's going to happen. You haven't run 26. You've only run 20. Those last six might take you forever, and you're not going to make the time. They're going to start tearing everything down, and you're still going to be out there, you know, stuck in the middle of the course. So that was like really my biggest fear going into it. And I was really lucky. My husband was there to like support me and watch and everything. And he was like, it doesn't matter how long it takes you. I'll still wait there at the finish line. And even if it's not there anymore, like 26.2 miles is just a distance, right?
Right.
It doesn't matter how long it takes you to get there. You can still keep running until you hit 26.2, right? So I was like, okay, you're right. Like, I still had it in the back of my mind, but just knowing that, like, yeah, you're right. It actually doesn't matter how long it takes me, whether it's 5, 6, 7, 8, if it takes you 12 hours, like, I'll still finish it.
Right.
So
same distance.
That kind of, yeah, exactly. So that kind of helped ease my mind a little bit. But then when I started lining up at the starting line, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to poop my pants and I can't do this. Like, I actually don't know if I can do this at all. And yeah, the nerves were just unreal. Like, insane.
Yeah, those start line nerves. I mean, I think it's heightened when you're around other people who are also nervous. Like, you're just standing in a group of people who are all really anxious to get going, and it's a lot. So you got going. The race started.
Yeah.
when do you feel like you kind of settled in a little? If you did, like in the first half.
Yeah. So I would say, honestly, well, first of all, like, for anybody listening that might be going into like their first marathon, like, the nerves are obviously so normal. And honestly, like, I think it helps a lot. Your adrenaline's going and you're just like excited to get started. And I think it kind of, you kind of like don't even realize like that you're running. I don't know. That sounds so crazy.
I know exactly what you mean.
But
yeah,
you're kind of like, I guess we're doing this. Okay. You're just kind of like going with the crowd. And it takes a while until you process like, oh, I'm already at mile 3. Okay. All right. This is fine. I felt like the first mile, I was still really like nervous. And I remember thinking to myself, like, okay, you need to start controlling your breathing because you're getting like, it's a little crazy. You need to relax. So I remember thinking about being intentional about my breathing. And once the crowd started kind of like thinning out around like mile 2, 3, is when I was really like, okay, we're doing this. Like, we're in it. Here we go. Now's the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really when I kind of like snapped into it. And I was like, okay, this is it.
Yeah. Cool. So you were feeling pretty good. Would you say that kind of continued like up until the half point for you? Like, you were still feeling pretty good up until then?
Yeah. So I remember, I got some really good advice before I had started. And part of it was about like checking in with yourself every couple miles. Mm-hmm. So like I said, when I got to like mile 3 and I realized it was kind of thinning out a little bit, I was like, okay, here we go. When I got to mile 7, I was like, this is still just a warm up. This is just a warm up. We're just getting started. I felt really comfortable at my pace. I was going a little bit faster than I anticipated, but I felt good. So I was like, okay, well, as long as I feel okay, like, I'm just going to continue at this pace. When we got to, I want to say it was like mile 10 is when the half marathoners turned off. And I was like, what I wouldn't give to turn with them.
Yeah, but it's tough.
It's really tough. You're like, okay, have fun.
see you in a couple hours.
Yeah, wish I was you. And then it really started thinning out after that. All the half marathoners were gone, and you're like, okay, you're starting to like, there's a couple points where you're sort of on your own. Again, it was kind of, there was a lot of like farmland and stuff. So there were a lot of areas where there weren't like any like spectators or anything. So I was starting to get a little nervous that it was going to be like my other half marathon. And I was like, oh man, this is going to be tough. Like there's not going to be people around and it's going to be a challenge. I really honestly, I felt good at the halfway point. My husband had met me at a couple points along the way and he was encouraging me, giving me any like fuel that I needed or any extra water, popping a couple Tylenol just to keep those shins from not blistering. And I think probably around 16, I was like, okay, like, we're still doing this. We're still going, but I was happy that I had reached over the halfway point and I was like, okay, well, I'm already over halfway. Like this isn't too bad. When I got to about mile 20, it definitely started to get tough. There was a pretty significant incline. And I remember being like, okay, I'm starting to feel it. Like I'm starting to notice my energy levels. I think I need to slow down a little bit, walk for a little bit. I walked like most of that hill. It was brutal and I was not about to waste my energy on that.
Right.
So really just like checking in with myself, making sure that I was pacing myself and wasn't trying to, like for me personally, when you come up to something like a hill like that, it's just not really worth wasting your energy when you still have 6 miles left.
Totally.
When I got to mile, I think it was like 21 or so, my headphones died. And I was
Oh no. That's
luckily, I know. Luckily I had brought my case with me in my my pack. So yeah. I was like, okay, I'll just plug them in really quick. Keep them in my case and let them charge for a little bit. And hopefully that'll carry me through the rest of the marathon. So I ended up doing like 1 or 2 miles without headphones, which honestly was kind of nice. I thought I would be dreading it, but I really was being super attentive. And I was just kind of like really taking in all like the sights and sounds and just kind of, I don't know. It actually wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. But anyway, after those like 2 miles, I was like, okay, well, I definitely want my headphones for the last like 3. I'm going to need it. Like, I know that. So I put my headphones back in and people were, you know, like cheering me on, texting me through my headphones. So I was getting like words of encouragement, which was awesome. The last 5K, I actually felt really good, surprisingly. I think the adrenaline started kicking in again. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm almost done. Like, first of all, I passed 20. So this is officially the furthest I've run again. And I only have 3 miles left. That's literally nothing. Like, I do that all the time. Like 3 miles, I do that all the time. And so I just got like a second wave. I felt so good. I was able to like increase my speed. I ended up actually like passing a lot of people that I had stuck with for most of the race. And I was just like, okay, let's go. Like, kick it into high gear. Let's get this done.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think part of the motivation was just like, I need to get this over with. Like,
yeah, right. Well, I'm feeling good.
Let's go. Like, let's get this done. I've been running for a long time. So I felt really good those last like 3 miles. And then once I kind of got up towards like the 25 mile mark, you know, a lot of people, there were a lot more spectators and like, you're almost there. You've got it. You're almost there. And that just really gave me like the extra boost that I needed to be like, oh my gosh, I'm so close. Like, I can almost see it. Like, I'm so close. And then I finished and it was like, I can't believe that just happened. Like, kind of a blur. It was crazy.
Yeah. Did you get to like take in the finish line at all? Or were you so exhausted that you like reflected on it later?
Yeah. I remember seeing the, this is so dorky, but I remember seeing the finish line and I really wanted to have a good song playing when I finished in my headphones.
I did the same thing.
I couldn't find one. And I kept skipping.
Oh no.
Wait, all these songs. Why are we?
Pause. Yeah.
I don't even remember what song was on. That's how horrible it was. So, but I remember thinking that I was going to cry when I crossed the finish line, because even during training, I would get emotional sometimes just thinking about like accomplishing it. But I crossed that finish line. I sprinted so hard. Like I gave everything that I had left. I crossed the finish line and I was like, I had nothing. Like I had nothing to give. Like there were no tears. There were nothing.
Right.
It wasn't as magical as what I had seen, but honestly, I was like, oh my God, like, thank God I'm done. Like that took forever. I was running for so long. Like I'm done. Oh my gosh. So I remember I walked off to the side. They gave me my medal. I walked up to the side and I was like, I just need to sit. Like it's been so long.
And yeah.
I sat down and I immediately was like, I actually don't think I can get back up. So here we are.
We're going to sit here for a second.
I was like, okay, well, I'm going to need a couple minutes. Yeah. Just leave me here. I'll be fine. Yeah. But I was just so happy I was of course proud and happy to have accomplished it, but I was also just like so drained. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I actually finished that. Like, I can't believe it's over after all of that. Like, it's just a weird feeling.
It's so unreal. Yeah. I asked the question of like, did you get to soak it in? Like, what did it feel like all the time? And nobody can describe it. Like you have to just go through it and feel it to really understand what we're talking about. Cause it really is. It's just like, it's a feeling that you specifically get from doing this really specific thing. But it's unreal. Yeah. It's huge. Well, cool. That was such an awesome experience. It sounds like all things considered, the marathon went pretty according to plan, to what you were hoping for. And the cutoff, you were all set, made it through the cutoff.
Yeah. I made it in time. I had I think 40 minutes to spare.
Oh, so you were,
I had plenty of time.
Plenty.
I was just so nervous, but I kept an eye on that time, like throughout the entire race. But I was just really fortunate. I think just because I had, you know, I've heard stories of things that go awry on marathon day. So of course,
sure.
I just kind of anticipated that. But honestly, like it was such a good experience. Like I really can't complain. I will say, like, I think part of why it went so well is because I truly did not change a thing when it came to race day versus what I had done in training. I, like I said, was really intentional about checking in with myself every couple miles. I was really on top of my fueling, really on top of hydration. And I walked at every water station, which was really such a good tip from somebody I know that had done a couple other marathons. And they were like, don't be afraid to like take your time, slow down, get some good hydration, because when you're running, you're trying to drink and it's just going everywhere. Like you get to that water station, you're like, oh, here's a Dixie cup. And you're like, oh, okay. I think I got some in my mouth. So yeah, like I think I was just really intentional. And like I said, I didn't change anything. I used the same fuel. I used the same like hydration tablets. Everything was exactly the same. And I just kind of went into it being like, okay, it's just another run, you know, like it's just another run. I think that helped just kind of keep me on the right path.
Totally. Yeah, no, I think that's great advice of just, don't change anything. That's like the biggest no-no that we always hear for marathon race day is like, keep it simple, keep it to training. You don't need to try anything crazy just because it's like a big race. But cool. That all sounds like it was so exciting. And then if you could like break down, obviously, if you've listened to the show before, there's a lot of newer runners that are listening, a lot of people who are in the same boat as you pretty shortly ago where they were thinking about running their first marathon or training. What's some advice that you learned from your experience that maybe you could offer some people who are thinking about running theirs?
There are so many things. It can be really overwhelming when you're getting started. So really just like taking everything so slowly and just trying to like soak things in like little by little. I think even when you pick a plan, like for me, picking a plan was really, really important, before I had even started training, because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't just going into this blindly. And I wasn't just going out and being like, I don't know what I'm running today, you know, just running to run. So sticking to the plan and kind of taking it one run at a time. When you look at the plan overall and you see like, oh my gosh, like 18, 20 weeks of training or whatever, and you see all these runs, you're like, oh my gosh, like, I don't think I can do that. It looks very overwhelming. It's very scary. So literally just going week by week, run by run is, I think, the best way to kind of approach training. Otherwise, you're going to be looking ahead being like, I'm supposed to be running 16 miles in 16 weeks. That's, you know, it just gets a little bit scary. So sure, taking it week by week is really important. And oh my gosh, there's just so much. There's so much. And like I said, training your stomach, like I cannot stress enough how important that is. It's, I think, overlooked a lot. But the key to any good run is making sure that you're properly fueled and hydrated. You can't get very far if, you know, you're not well fueled and well hydrated. So yeah, I don't know. There's so many pieces of advice. But at the end of the day, like, you'll figure it out. Listen to your body, and you'll figure it out along the way.
Totally. Yeah. You're not going to go from half marathon to run a marathon the next day. Like, there's a whole training program that you're going to go through, and you'll work your way through it.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, thank you for walking through your whole marathon experience. That was great to walk through. And then the last couple of questions I usually ask are about just fun questions like fuel, shoes. A question from the audience I'll ask you as well. I always give the disclaimer to try your own fuel products. Trial and error is going to be your best friend with fuel. Same thing with shoes. Go to a running store, get your feet measured, do what you got to do with shoes. But for you specifically, what do you like in terms of fuel?
Yeah. So for me, I really like the Honey Stinger chews. They are fun because they're kind of like eating gummies, and they're easy to grab and go. I personally don't like the texture of like some of the goos and stuff. It's not really my thing. So I also, like I said before, started using gummy bears, which was fun for me because it's not like something I typically just snack on. So to kind of like keep that as an alternate source, because you do definitely get tired of like the chews and stuff, but I really tried to like stick to like one or two flavors, and then, you know, alternate here and there with a little bit of gummy bears for fun. And yeah, that worked for me.
Cool. Love it. And then shoes. What shoe? I know you said you maybe didn't do like a ton of research for your first one, but what do you like for shoes? And then like, have you looked at any other options since then?
Yeah. So I ended up. So when I first started running, I had a pair of ASICs and a pair of New Balances. There's nothing wrong with them. They're great shoes. They just weren't supportive enough for me. So I actually ended up about halfway through training getting a pair of Hokas with a 4mm heel drop, and that helped a ton. Cool. Just because of the way that I was like striking the ground. So I honestly, if I'm being totally honest, when I first started running, I was like, I'm not getting Hokas. Everybody has, I'm not going to do it. And then I did. And I was like, well, of course everybody has Hokas. They're great. Like,
yeah, there's a reason.
Yeah, exactly. I was just being a hater at first, but they're great.
Cool. So Hokas. Sweet. And then last question is a question from the audience. This question is from Mrs. Molly on Instagram. Thank you for the question. And she asked, how did your energy train throughout marathon training?
Oh, good question. I think when you first get started with training, it's really exciting because you're like, oh, I have this really cool goal. And it's exciting, but it's also overwhelming because the thought of even running 26, at least for me, was like insane. And as the weeks go on and you start getting more comfortable with your pace and with running in general, I feel like the energy kind of like shifts a little bit. At about the week, like, I don't know, 14, 15 for me personally is when I started getting like really exhausted. marathon training is hard. Like, it's very taxing on you mentally and physically. And then on top of whatever other training you're doing in conjunction with running, it can be a lot. So I think there's definitely a point where you feel like you have nothing left to give. Your energy is just like so low. And in those moments, you really do have to go back to your why. And you really do have to remember like all the hard work you put in. Like I said, that 2-week taper for me was a godsend because it really allowed me to not just like physically rest, but also like mentally, like get myself together. Because I wasn't so stressed with like those long runs. I mean, that some of those long runs, like you're spending like until you're even, you know, you're dressed and then you go and you do your run, you get home and you have to shower and you know, whatever, like it's a whole day affair. So it's just a lot. But then the energy comes back to you on race day and there's just like nothing like that energy. Like it really does carry you through so much of that marathon. And it's just like an incredible feeling.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to describe like the highs and lows of the energy. Cause it really does. It just changes throughout. You're gonna have days where you're feeling awesome. You're going to have days where you're feeling not so awesome. But just trust in the process and sticking with it. But well, cool. Well, thank you so much for walking through everything. And if anybody wants to follow along with you, where can they find you?
Yeah. So I actually documented my marathon journey on TikTok, which was super fun. Just to be able to vlog my whole first experience really allowed me to kind of like stay attentive to everything that was happening during all those training runs. And I'm hoping that I'll be doing another race in the near future. So hopefully I'll be vlogging that as well. Sweet. So you can always follow along there.
Cool. Awesome. And I'll link all your socials in the show notes as well. But thank you again for coming on. This is awesome.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode. If you're enjoying My First Marathon, it would mean the world to me if you could rate and review the show. And if you or someone you know has ran a marathon and would like to share your story, I have a guest form to fill out in my bio on Instagram. That username is @MyFirstMarathonPod. See you on the next one.